If you're looking for big, important news, you're in the wrong place. Wait, don't go. We still have news. It's just more along the lines of hyperlocal police reports regarding moose deaths in remote towns in Alaska, or something like that. The point is, this podcast has news you never thought you would need, because you probably don't. Welcome to The Littlest Headline.
Hey, I'm Yoni Marion.
I'm Rowan Olson.
And I'm Moses Fleischman.
And this is The Littlest Headline, a different kind of news podcast, looking at news you've never heard from places you've probably never been, but definitely still want to hear about.
You see, each episode we pick a lesser-known town or county in the U.S. and review their local newspaper, bringing the news not to them, but to you. To them, too, if they want to listen, but specifically to you and our listeners. And I forgot what I say next.
You ask Rowan.
I ask Rowan, hey, Rowan, what do I ask normally?
What are
we reading today?
There we go.
Well, that's a great question, Moses, because we are reading from the Cuesta del Rio News in Cuesta, New Mexico. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Cuesta. But
please do.
First, I would just like to take a moment to acknowledge that the land upon which Cuesta was built on is the indigenous land of the Taos Pueblo people. Cuesta is in Taos County, New Mexico, and it has a population of 1,770. And while this newspaper actually covers a whole bunch of cities kind of in the area or towns, they're all very small. And I'm sure Yoni will get into that. My information specifically on Cuesta, because it's kind of like the cultural hub of the area. It's kind of, speaking of area, it has an area of 5.1 square miles.
I would hope it has an area.
Me too. And guess what? It does. You're right. It has trails into the Rio Grande Gorge, into areas with trout fishing and mountain lakes. It's overlooked by the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, and it's at the western base of the Taos Mountains, which is part of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. It's on the Enchanted Circle Scenic Byway, parallel to the Carson National Forest, and it's near the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument. Its climate is that it is very warm in the summer and cold and snowy in the winter, so it's actually below average for like precipitation like rain, but very much above average in terms of snow.
Sounds continental. Not humid, though. They didn't say humid.
Continental. It's quite the opposite of humid, it sounds like.
Arid continental.
It's in northern New Mexico. So
that would explain it.
Yep.
Yes. So I don't know if you've never been to New Mexico, but if you have, it's fairly dry there.
I don't think I've been to New Mexico.
I have.
It's cool.
Well, not cool.
Left out.
Well, it's warm.
Well, it's cool in the winter. It snows in the winter, at least in Cuesta. Anyway, Cuesta's economy is largely dependent on agriculture, and many residents commute to nearby towns to work in the hospitality industries there. So the state flower of New Mexico is, any guesses this time?
The New Mexican.
What does it start with?
Why?
Is it only one word?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, it's two, but one of them is flower.
Yarrow.
No.
Oh. That's like the first time.
Your cactus flower.
Yarrow is a herb.
Moses was actually a little bit closer.
Hey.
In terms of phonetics.
Ye old cactus.
It is not ye old cactus flower. It is the yucca flower.
Shoot.
I actually haven't heard of that. I could have said it, but I didn't because I didn't know it.
That's okay. That's why I'm telling you.
Thanks.
And the state bird is the...
I need the letter. Wait, how many words and what does it start with?
Two words. First word starts with G. Second word starts with R. You definitely, I'm going to say it and you're going to be like, oh yeah.
Okay. Gray Roadrunner.
Gray.
You're so close.
Oh. Something Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Grand.
You're
great.
Awesome. That's so close.
Greatest. Greater.
Greater Roadrunner. Greater Roadrunner.
Hey. Yeah, teamwork. High five. Air high five.
Boom.
Woo. Boom.
All right. That is my tidbit about Cuesta, New Mexico.
I like the guessing game thing.
That's fun. That's a fun angle to take. Normally I talk about the history, and I don't know why I said normally because that's what I'm doing today. I was stalling for time because I would like to thank the website that I found all this information on. Normally I have to go to a couple different websites, but there was a website called cuesta-nm.com, which gave me a lot of wonderful information and backed it all with sources. All up with sources. And if you'd like to find out more about Cuesta and the area that it is in New Mexico, I would absolutely recommend going to cuesta-nm.com. And it has some wonderful photographs by a man named John Collier Jr. who is in parentheses with Yeon. Can you guess what organization or what branch of the government? The Library of Congress. The Library of Congress. I don't know how the Library of Congress is actually connected.
It's like branch of government.
I apologize for the way I phrased that, but it's...
Yeon was so ready to say
but
judicial.
But also, why did I guess judicial? That was like the least likely one that you could have been with.
Yeon was so deep in thought, ready for judicial.
Well, the Library of Congress comes in clutch again with some photographs on their website that I recommend checking out. The quest area has shown evidence of habitation from as early as the Paleo-Indian Clovis and then Folsom people. Around 5,000 BC, permanent settlements.
Whoa.
Yeah, 5,000. Yeah, normally I don't get history that old.
We don't get, yeah, wow.
But permanent settlements seem to have moved into the area. I mean, it's a rough estimate, but 5,000 BC is about when they estimate. Francisco Vasquez de Coronado, I apologize for butchering
that. Heard of him.
May have been the first Spanish visitor to the area, traveling through in around 1540. And in the late 16th century, more Spanish came through following reports of gold. And around 1800, the Spanish militia came through with settlers and established a secure-ish, I'm shaking my hand back and forth, atmosphere for a few settlements to begin in the area. Mostly looking
secure for them.
Secure for them, the native populations, probably not so much, unfortunately. The settlers were seeking grazing land for sheep and goats. And by then some French trappers moved into the area and the first U.S. military explorations were taking place. Cuesta was officially founded in 1842, although settlements in this location were documented several different times in the early 1800s. And Cuesta, spelled with a Q, as it is in this town's, name, was an Anglo simplification of the common misspelling of the Spanish Cuesta, referring to the inclines throughout the town on the south end of the village and under the ridge where the old church plaza was built. And from 1810 to 1821, Mexico was at war with Spain to win Mexico's independence. And a land grant was initially requested from what was then Mexico in 1841. But in 1846, the U.S. declared war with Mexico. Sorry, there's a lot of history about war and the area. But finally, New Mexico became a U.S. territory in 1850. In the early 1900s, the molybdenum mine, which I had to look up how to pronounce, it's a mineral.
Thank you. Say it again.
The molybdenum.
Cool.
I used to pronounce that word molybendum, even though there's only one D, and it's molybdenum, not molybendum. And the, working in the... This is not working in the mine became one of the most important sources of income for people in the area. The arrival of a railroad had begun long-term trade and barter economy as manufactured goods became available in the region. So railroads, yet again, if that's one of the through lines you guys I have learned about and everyone listening to this has found out about, that railroads are super important. And Cuesta weathered the Great Depression with the aid of the Works Progress Administration, which employed, and in the website it says, it calls them Cuestaños, to build, which I think is a very cute way to call the citizens of Cuesta, to build the fish hatchery and the elementary school, which both are still there today. So that's a bit about the history of Cuesta. But we are not here to talk about Cuesta.
No.
We're not?
We're not here to talk about Cuesta, which I just said. I don't know why I said it again. We're here to talk about what happens in Cuesta, not 5,000 BC, but now. Not old, but new. And for that, we need the newspaper.
Newspaper. They got one, luckily. So Moses said Library of Congress came in clutch. Maybe I didn't look hard enough, but I did not find the Library of Congress entry on the Cuesta del Rio news. Speaking of Cuesta del Rio, we will, as usual, be interchangeably saying the names of things with Spanish phonology and with English phonology because that's how language works and people say it in different ways. None of us are native Spanish speakers. Some of us have learned it, so we might say it that way, but if we say it in the anglicized way, it's because we are saying it in English, even though the name comes from Spanish. But both ways are perfectly acceptable depending on the circumstances. Now, Rowan did allude to this, but the Cuesta del Rio news does serve Cuesta as well as Red River, which is a big ski town in New Mexico. I actually saw an article saying it was the number one ski town in America.
Really?
But it was short, so I didn't pick it.
Well, that's cool.
But that is cool. Cerro, with two R's though. Costilla, Amalia, Lama, and San Cristobal. Cristobal, excuse me. There's no accent, actually. So I don't know what, but usually I feel like there's an accent. And all of those communities are served. So on the website, it says it's a monthly publication serving Northern Taos County specifically. So that's like the, if you want to visualize the general, if you can picture Taos County in your head, the northern part of it. Their mission on their website is in both English and Spanish. The English says, mission to inform, quote, mission to inform, inspire, connect, and unite the communities of Northern Taos County, end quote. Sounds like a pretty good mission to me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what local news is all about. And it was started and it's published by the Cuesta Economic Development Fund, which is interesting. I feel like, I don't think we've had that before, where a nonprofit serving the community actually funds the newspaper itself.
That's,
I feel like
really
usually
cool.
It's either, usually I feel like it's either privately owned or it's specifically a like a regional news company doing this. But here we've got a nonprofit. I don't know if they, I can't confirm they single-handedly publish it, but they certainly contribute to it. I mean, it's mentioned on the website. And you know what else is mentioned on the website?
What?
News.
Oh,
whoa.
Articles. I should hope so.
Lots of articles. And we are going to start them in 3, 2, 1, boom. Blast off. Go. I don't know if I liked boom as I said it. It felt a little anticlimactic. What do we think? Boom, blast off, or go?
Blast off.
We're keeping all of this in.
Blast
so.
Off. Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. I think blast off.
All right. Well, remind
blast
it.
Off 100%.
Blast. Okay. 3, 2, 1, blast off.
My article. Published on January 2nd, 2024, and written by John Walsh.
It could not have been published on January 22nd.
I am so...
Second. No, she said second, didn't she?
That's what I meant to say.
Wait.
I thought you said second.
I kind of want to go back and listen to it.
Okay. Yon,
please hold listeners.
Are we about to Mandela
actually,
effect ourselves?
Actually, it does not matter. Whatever. Just...
Don't inter-
I it's funnier in my head if you said 22nd, because that's like a little joke for me, but I'm going to believe Moses that you said second.
I don't know.
Either way, it was published on January 2nd.
Oh, perfect.
Which was...
4.
3 days ago.
It's published on January 2nd, 4. The year 4, AD.
What?
Well, because I switched the 22nd and the 2024.
I haven't even said the title of the article yet.
Okay, say the title of the article.
Okay, so this article is from a section of the newspaper called Sproutings, which I think is a section specifically related to education in Cuesta, which is really cute. It's the January 2024, like... newsletter
edition.
Seems, yeah, edition, volume edition, exactly, thank you. And this specific portion of it is called Cuesta Bridge Falling Down.
Oh no,
except it's not
there. Is no Cuesta Bridge. Actually, there might be. It's
there are near, many Cuesta bridges
near a river. There probably is.
Allow me to begin.
Okay, begin.
Cuesta Middle School science class sponsored a popsicle stick bridge building competition between the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade science classes. The objective of the competition was to see which team of students could build the strongest bridge to span a 1-foot gorge. The rules of the competition were that it could only be built of popsicle sticks and Elmer's school glue. That's a challenge.
That is a challenge.
I love this article.
Isn't it fun?
1 foot across, right? 1 foot deep would be irrelevant, right?
Yeah, 1 foot okay. across. I'm looking at photos right now. It's the way they set it up was like 2 tables with a 1 foot gap.
Exactly how I pictured it.
Perfect. Yes. All right. Each class was divided into two-person teams. Students got to choose their teammate. Each team was initially given 50 popsicle sticks and a bottle of Elmer's glue. We quickly found out that 50 sticks would only create a skeleton structure. Eventually, the students used 6,000 sticks between 35 teams.
Oh, I thought you were... Okay.
Between 35
teams. That's
still
a lot. Hold on.
Yeah.
It's at least 400 something, right?
It's a lot. They ran through 13 bottles of glue, plus a quart-sized refill bottle.
They just drank the glue until it was...
I certainly hope they didn't drink the glue.
Wow, I did that math so bad. Are you sure you did that right?
It's a calculator.
6,000 divided by 35? Yeah, I know. Are you sure? 6,000 divided by 35?
For those listening at home, I'm putting 6,000 divided by 35 in a calculator right now.
Why did I get 400?
That's a great question.
Oh, I was thinking 3,000 divided by 60.
That would make sense.
That would make sense.
65.
Or sorry for interrupting you.
For those of you listening, Moses just put it in a calculator, and it is 171 3/7 popsicle sticks.
For those of you listening, I promise I'm only this bad at math when it's after 9 p.m., which it is.
True.
This is the littlest headline after dark.
After dark.
Which is the here anytime after 5:30.
The littlest headline nights.
Yon, Alec, we are at best pirates.
What did you call it?
Yon, I don't know. It's
what?
Littlest headline.
Wait, what?
It is littlest.
It sounded like you just...
Did you just call me Alec?
I did almost call you Alec.
You did? You didn't almost call me Alec.
You said, definitely no, did.
You said Yon, Alec.
It is littlest headline
Alec,
nights.
If you're listening.
Alec?
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 Are you Alec? Are you there? I can hear Alec. You breathing, Alec.
Alec?
I can hear you on the other end.
This Alec? Is so interesting.
Now we have to get someone named Alec to listen to this.
Rowan, can you continue?
Yeah, I can.
Thank you.
So the article goes on to keep explaining kind of the process of this competition, which sounds pretty intense.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting to note that the author of this article, John Walsh, is actually a fourth grade teacher in Cuesta. So I don't know. I just think it's really nice that he like contributes to the Sproutings page and like he has like an inside take on this competition, you know?
That's really nice.
Yeah. That was probably the wrong place to say that, but I still think it's cool. Anyway, it says that part of the project was to draw out a template that they would try to create. Students then started gluing sticks together, which brought on the first challenge. If you don't know how slow Elmer's school glue dries, I know some students who will advise you. It is very slow. Putting together elaborate bridges in a fixed amount of time caused multiple adjustments in design.
Ever since first grade, I have despised liquid glue.
Okay.
Anytime we had to do a project with liquid glue, I would get so mad. Sorry, I just really, like, as a, like in elementary school, I just despised glue because it was so, like, part, you had to factor in part of the project was do it and just sit before you do the next part.
Yoni.
Yes.
Did you employ the rule ... not a lot?
Well, I haven't heard that particular phrasing of it, but yes.
Okay.
But my dots would always be too small and then it wouldn't work and it was so frustrating and my hands were always sticky by the end. And you know that thing where like the glue dries and you have to peel it off with the...
I loved that.
Okay, it was kind of fun. But I didn't
I would cover my fingers in glue and then peel
all
it
right,
off.
I would not.
That's a little too much information.
Do that. No, I think it's just the right amount of information.
Well, right. Okay, I feel like that gives the wrong impression. Like I didn't dip my hands in glue. I would just like put a little
Rowan's
bit on
a glue
my
dipper. Everyone, Rowan's a glue dipper.
I would just like put a little on my fingertip in like
glue dipper. All right,
that's
keep
a
going.
Unique insult. Anyway,
keep going.
Okay. It continues to say, the next challenge was to figure out which way a popsicle stick needs to lay to maximize its strength. They learned that laying a stick flat was easy to break, while standing on its side gave it much more strength. We studied some truss designs and how the triangle shape was used because of its strength of design. Adding vertical sticks to each triangle really beefs them up. After several hours of intense concentration and a weekend drying time, the day to break bridges arrived. All right, and I really like this part because it sounds really dramatic, and I love it. Monday morning, the scene was set. Two tables were placed a foot apart, and the first bridge was placed across the gap. A small chain was looped through the bridge, suspending a bucket underneath. Water bottles were then added one by one to the bucket, and no one knew when the critical compression weight would collapse the bridge. We ended up having to go to a janitor-sized bucket that would accommodate 30 water bottles plus a 1-liter water bottle. This weight only broke a few of the lighter bridges. Eventually, we had to add a box on top with multiple science books to break the heavy-duty bridges. Each class ended up with a class survivor, which will be entered into the finals. We are waiting for one of the teachers to bring in 80 pounds of barbells for the finals.
Wow.
Which
from where?
Is insane. I don't, from their house or a gym or something, which I know you guys listening to the podcast can't see. We obviously can't transmit photos to you through this platform, but I'm staring at the photos in this article and there's this bridge made of popsicle sticks suspending a massive bucket just like full of Gatorade bottles. Like,
yum.
Like it's like double the height of the bucket is like Gatorade. And it's a popsicle stick bridge, and I find that very impressive. And that is my article.
Wow.
This excites me. Kids art at the Cuesta Library. Who's excited?
I'm excited.
Whoa, that was terrifying. Kids art at the Cuesta Library is the name of this article that was published on November 29th of last year, 2023.
Ooh.
The author is listed as library staff. I don't know. Probably multiple people. It opens
Wait,
with this.
Library staff? Like staff of a library?
Staff of the library.
Huh,
like
okay.
People who work there.
What do you mean? I just mean it's a newspaper, not like a library.
No. Because the because the article's about the library.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's like they just wrote about it. Yeah. Who doesn't love kids' art?
Me.
Dash. What? Hey.
Hey, Moses.
Sorry. Here's a rhetorical question.
Who doesn't love kids' art? Dash. Art produced through the love of creativity, color, curiosity, and fun. The youth art... There's an exclamation point. The youth art show currently featured at the Cuesta Public Library at the library...
I'm sorry. Did you say library the first time?
No, I said library. Did I say?
I wasn't paying enough attention.
It doesn't matter. Library. Keep continue.
The youth art show currently featured at the Cuesta Public Library at the library embraces this statement and much more. Students from Cuesta to Red River came together to produce a great display. On Saturday, November 4th, the students arrived at the library for a public opening and award ceremony. And then the printer made a big blank space, so I'm going to flip pages. There's lots of pictures, too, that I can't... I mean, it's mostly like kids looking at their art, making the art, parents and teachers and admiring the art. It's very good. The next important words in the article are these ones. Maya McDonald, did you just slam your head into the microphone?
I do that a lot. I do that a lot when I'm like when I'm at a loss for words. I just go,
okay, well,
or like
I'll cut it. Okay, that's great. I'm gonna have to cut that out.
Thank you. Yeah,
or maybe I won't because there's an explanation to it. Maya McDonald, the art teacher from Alta Vista Elementary in Cuesta, brought in colorful and expressive work from her students. She focuses her program by stating, the Alta Vista art program is one that strives to encourage creativity, problem solving, and exploration through art. At the same time, we work to introduce classic art making techniques, which open new worlds of creation to students. Students are, where's the end quote? Oh, there it is. Students are able to explore topics relating to themselves, their home, and their identity, all while building fundamental skills, end quote. Maya used many creative techniques with her students. You will see watercolor self-portraits, pastel landscapes, and printmaking. Lori Hawks from Red River Charter School rounded out the display with more elementary... elementary as in elementary student work. It was just the words were on two separate lines, so it was confusing. With more elementary student work, and with a nice display of junior high student artwork. Mrs. Hawks describes her program as, quote, inspiring her students to observe the beauty of the world around them, end quote, and uses, quote, academic connections, works of famous artists, and seasonal themes, end quote, to plan enjoyable lessons with a purpose. Mrs. Hawks, do y'all remember art class?
Like, yeah.
I do.
Remember that was a thing?
I loved art class.
Like, when you just, like, went to a class to draw and make stuff with yarn for a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I took it for granted.
Me too.
Mrs. Hawk's older students' artwork merged with the curriculum. These artworks were focused around two connective curriculum projects. One was drawings of poppies tied to the remembrance poppies. Sorry, my computer just flashed a notification. I didn't see what it was. That was scary. Where was I?
Remembrance poppies?
Ah, yes. Remembrance poppies that are still worn in Commonwealth countries to remember veterans of wars that her 7th and 8th graders learned about while studying World War I. Her second project used the theme for the annual Youth Hispanic Heritage Contest this year. Todos somos, somos uno, or we are all, we are one. In keeping with this theme, her 7th and 8th grade class created color wheels to represent the world in space. Some placed the continents of North and South America over the color wheel, where the majority of Hispanic people live. The colors represent the many races and personalities, or, quote, colorful, end quote, people of the world. While every elementary student received a fun, inspiring ribbon, only a select few... While every elementary student received a fun, inspiring ribbon, only a select few of the upper-level students received ribbons. So
what?
That...
Wait.
Back up. Yeah. Yeah, they mean, like, real... they mean real ribbons.
Gotcha.
This included 5 place ribbons, with the top 3 receiving a little something extra in the form of a gift certificate to... We guessing?
Red Robin?
No. That's oddly specific, Rowan.
Okay. Gift certificates to...
Can I say Red Robin on the podcast?
The name Red Robin?
Yeah.
The name of the chain?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Rowan?
Is it something I would know?
Yes. I wouldn't make you guess if it was something you didn't know.
Is it... Chili's?
No. It's not a restaurant. Okay, you both get one more guess.
Is it...
The bank?
Michael's?
What? What? You mean a debit card?
Yeah, sure, a charge card. Whatever.
A gift certificate to the bank is like a check. Like,
what is a debit card, but or what is a check, but a gift certificate to the bank? Rowan, what were you going to say?
Michael's?
No.
Oh.
No, it's Walmart.
Oh, that's also good, cool, with the art theme.
A very special award, the, quote, People's Choice end quote, award, with a gift card, was also given out. This award was open to all students, both elementary and upper level. And I actually have the, it says who won the People's Choice Award, or like it has the drawing. It's a flower. It's like a rose, and it looks pretty cool. I can't see, there might be something like special about it. It does look pretty detailed, but it's in black and white and like small on the paper. So, but you can go check it out at Cuesta News. The upper level awards went to students from Red River Charter. First place went to a student whose name I'm not going to read. Second place to a student whose name I'm not going to read. Third to, okay, you get the picture.
I'm
not going to dox minors. And then it talks about the People's Choice Award. We would like to thank the two art teachers who participated in this year's display. A special thanks goes out to Maya McDonald and Lori Hawks for helping our youth grow and develop critical thinking skills through art. Creativity is the driving force behind all problem solving. It's a fire line.
Hey.
We are very lucky to have you working with our youth. If you haven't stopped by the library to have a peek at that wonderful creative show, please do. The display is up through the end of January 2024. So actually, we can still go see it.
We should.
We should. We're here. We're there. One last thing. I like the conversational tone of this article. One last thing. As an additional salute to creativity, please remember that on December 18th, 19th, and 20th, so whatever they're about to say next, we cannot do it.
Ah, rats.
The Cuesta Library will be giving out free art materials to all local youth. That is very nice. Through the Art Kits for Kids, Cuesta Creative Council project. If you would like to help, the QCC raised money for the endeavor, and then you can go do that every little bit. I mean, not anymore, but I'm sure you can go to cuestacreative.org now and help somehow. If you're into that, that is my article about kids doing art. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love kids doing art. Mo, you ready to go?
I'm so ready to go.
I think I said no consonants in that sentence.
Mo, you ready to go?
Let's go, Mo.
That was me landing in my spaceship with this article that is brand new. It's brand new. It is from January the 2nd, 2024, which now that I think about when this episode comes out and when you're listening to it, it's probably not brand
Believe it will still be in January, though.
But you could listen to this in November of 2024 or in 2067.
Listen to it whenever, but it is coming out January.
If you're listening to this in 2067, email us. If email still exists.
Okay. Everyone stop. If you are listening to this in 2067, I don't know where I was going with that. It felt really cool as I started talking, and then I was like, wait, what am I going to do? Okay.
The point is, if you're listening to this in 2067, thank you for your loyalty. I got it.
If you're listening to this in 2067, hit me up. I feel like whoever's listening to this in 2067 is going to know me.
What?
If someone's listening to this in 2067, unless it becomes like immensely popular, they're going to know who I am. So hit me up and tell me you're listening to this in 2067.
Yeah, just text you.
It felt really big when I started talking about it, and now it's gone. All right, Moses, just do the article. Get out of your spaceship.
I'm out of my spaceship, and I'm ready to deliver this news. This was written on January 2nd, 2024, and it was written by Michaela Ortega. It's called Northern New Mexico Tradition, Dando Los Dias, kicks off 2024. And like Yun said, I'm sure I'm going to butcher words and names.
That's the thing. It's not butchering. If you're trying to say it in Spanish, then sure. But like, or you could accept, you know, we are English speakers. And if there's a thing that's been, if something can have a pronunciation in English, even if it's not from English. Mm. So I wouldn't go at it negatively.
Okay. Well, I will be saying words and I will be saying them how I'll be saying them. I'm not sure if I got through the whole title, but the full title is Northern New Mexico Tradition Dando Los Dias kicks off 2024. Farmer, rancher, community leader, and mountain range supply and transport owner.
What was the last one? Wait.
Mountain range supply and transport owner.
Ah, yes.
Bernie Torres, along with his friends, will once again be visiting locals in the northern Taos County area to ring in the new year with the unique tradition of Los Dias. This year, the group started at the Amalia Community Center at 8 a.m., where locals prepared food and goodies for the traveling musical group.
I like goodies.
Goodies.
Yes.
For the traveling musical group as they start their tour to serenade locals, wishing goodwill and blessings to families, friends, and the greater community. The musical group then traveled to Cuesta, where they visited Berlinda Trujillo's home. I don't know why I said that name different than all the other ones. I'm sorry, which was extra special considering it was also her birthday. The family surrounded Brulinda as she was honored by the traditional songs of old. That's the beauty of tradition. We visit people who stay safe and warm in their homes. It's really just an honor for us as much as it is for them, Bernie says. After the trip to Brulinda's home, they went to Barbara and Evaristo's home, where the family gathered warmly as they were serenaded by Bernie and friends. I assume if you're a member of these of this community, you know who these people are, but it doesn't really provide us a whole lot of, as outsiders, it doesn't really provide a whole lot of explanation who Barbara and Evaristo are.
But that's what this podcast is for.
Yeah. So I hope everyone serenaded by this group had a great time and being a part of the tradition. Bernie says his favorite part of the Los Dias tradition is being blessed with the Vino de Cabulin, which is called choke cherry wine in parentheses, as they continue their journey from home to home. This tradition dates back to Spain, which originated from El Dia de los Manueles, musical groups who travel from house to house in Spain. It says signing songs for neighbors, but I believe it should be singing songs for neighbors in the name of Emmanuel. In the early 1900s, various groups would travel around from house to house in northern Taos County, but currently, Bernie's group is the last remaining traveling musical group.
Travical. New word.
Travical musical group. New word alert. Who participates in Dando los Dias on New Year's Day. This is a quote. The group sings poetic verses, old favorites, and spontaneous and humorous ones composed and personalized for individuals, families, or community groups. It makes people feel unique and special. The singing begins outside the homes and continues when musicians are invited inside, where all together they celebrate El Año Nuevo with pastelitos, pastries, bizcochitos, wine, and when lucky, a trajito of hard liquor.
Wait, bizcochito doesn't mean wine, that right?
It's a list of things.
Okay.
Says Natalie Torres.
I was gonna say my whole view of Spanish has been completely ruined. I was like,
says Natalie Torres Herrera of her brother's group. And that's the end of the article. Which
nice.
I
liked the treats at the end.
The treats at the end are really so lovely. Fun. There's so many goodies and treats to be had.
Food and music go so well together.
I agree. Two of the best things in the world, honestly.
Food and music.
Food and music.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best.
Yep.
And you know what else has been just the best?
What?
That you, dear listener, have been here.
I hope. Us.
Well, no, because I was going to say, like, there's one person listening to it, but there could be multiple people listening on one device.
You listen, dear listener. You specifically, you know who you are.
We wish you a happy new year as well, even though by the time you'll hear this, January will probably almost be over.
Yeah.
Or mid-January, I don't know.
It'll be sometime.
Anyway, it's been the best that you have been here with us, and we would like to personally thank you for listening to this episode of The Littlest Headline, where we were in Cuesta, or in northern Taos County in New Mexico, reading the Cuesta News. We hope you've enjoyed your stay here as much as we have, and we've certainly enjoyed it a lot. Now, before you go, we're going to hit you with some key takeaways.
My key takeaway is that if you live in northern Taos County, then you might have the privilege and the honor of being visited by this traveling band. And I hope that all the citizens who want to be visited by this wonderful band and share some wonderful goodies and snacks get the opportunity to do so.
My key takeaway comes in the form of a quote. Quote, creativity is the driving force behind all problem solving, end quote. Library staff.
It's a pretty great quote.
Library staff pretty said good. That. 2024.
Lovely.
Well, actually, no. They said it in 2023 because that article was older. Yeah. Creativity is the driving force behind all problem solving. I don't know about all, but I like the idea of the quote. So that's my key takeaway.
I like it.
Perfect. My key takeaway is that the students of Cuesta are scarily good at building popsicle stick bridges. And I think this ingenuity is something that we can all be inspired by. And also that it brought up some unresolved glue-related trauma for Yoni. And probably all of us on some level, but you know what? Generally, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, you got to revisit the old memories once in a while.
Yeah. And you should also remember to visit your local newspaper and support it. I'm Rowan.
I'm Moses.
I'm Yoni. This has been The Littlest Headline. We will catch you in the next issue.
Thanks for listening to The Littlest Headline. Want to keep up with our latest shenanigans? Follow us on Instagram, @TheLittlestHeadline. And if you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, or you want to suggest a newspaper for us to review, email us at thelittlestheadline@gmail.com.